Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 303. I've vented, I've yelled. Starting to feel a little bit better. I don't want to defend the Yankees, but I can't. I'm mad at them. But people call up and say the craziest things. Just checked on that Ian Hamilton story. Ian Hamilton, who would be a much welcome guy back into the fold, is going to have a rehab assignment on, I think, Thursday, I think Meredith said. So he's going to have a rehab assignment, and then they'll decide where he is, but they need him back as soon as possible. They need as many answers in this bullpen because right now they don't have one. And Clay Holmes, you know, he can't be the starter right now. The closer, excuse me. He just can't. I think last night he was atrocious. He has 11 blown saves. And for the first time, and I know many of you have felt this before. I haven't. I watch every single game. I haven't felt it like I did last night. Clay Holmes knew he was going to blow it. Last night, the ninth was too much for him. I didn't think it's been like that. I don't think it's been like that. I think for the most part, he's pitched fairly well and gotten some bad luck. I know nobody wants to hear it. Call me the Yankee shill, the whatever you want to call me. That's how I feel watching the games. And you look at some of his numbers, inside the numbers, his numbers aren't that bad. I know the ERA is inflated. Some of it's, again, watching the Detroit game the other night, Sunday night when they blew it, he's throwing sinkers low and away to left-handed pitching, and they're pulling the shift as if he's pitching inside. Guy hits a little lazy ground ball the other way, and there's no one playing shortstop. Like, it's just not smart. And a lot of it's been a little bit like that. Clearly the game of Baltimore that I always harken back to, and I know that's just one game, but when they fell down, I mean, he got four outs in the inning. He got a blown save. So some of it, to me, has been a little bad luck for Clay Holmes. Last night was not bad luck. Last night he was atrocious. Last night he got hit hard. Last night he couldn't throw a strike. And now it's 11 blown saves, and it felt like things were moving too fast for Clay. And I don't know what the options are. I don't think they're very good, but you have to try something. Mark in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing good. So, you know, Clay Holmes is just, oh, man. I mean, I was taking a look at all the losses that he has, and I went back and, like, I'm putting a compilation together.
Yeah.
So, there's 3-8, right? And so, out of those 8 losses, 4 of them, the Yankees have been leading in the 8th inning and beyond 8 times this season. And right, they're 0-8 in all those games. They have not won one game. Rockies
Wait. Say that one more time. Now I'm confused.
The Yankees.
He's blown 11 saves. They won 3 of them, right? They won 3 of his 11 blown saves. So he's lost 8 games.
Correct.
In those 8 games, they lost all 8? Yeah, I mean, I'm confused. Yeah. Of course. Yes, they lost all 8. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, leading in the 8th inning or beyond.
Right.
The only team that has more is Colorado have 9. They're like one of the worst teams are like, obviously.
Right.
They're like baseball.
Right.
So, to me, it's just, how are you continuing to play this guy? I mean, I remember when Chapman was up and Joey G came up for, like, literally, like, a week when Chapman was, like, obviously blowing them all over the place, you know? So, it's just, like, to me,
because,
he's continuing to
play. Yeah, because I remember the stretch where they pulled Chapman. If you remember, Chapman had only 3 blown saves, but all 3 looked like Clay Holmes last night. He didn't know where his fastball was going. He walked the bases loaded on 12 pitches. Like, Clay Holmes hasn't, as bad as many blown saves as it's been, and you said you were making a compilation. Watch the games.
This was the worst one.
By far. This was by far his worst blown save. By far.
The worst one, dude. I mean, when you were watching it, when we were both watching it, Chris, didn't you get a sense, like, you already seen this before? Plenty of times you're like, oh, my God, dude.
No.
He's gonna.
Yeah, I mean, I got the sense he was going to blow this game because he couldn't throw a strike. Yeah, I mean, this one in particular, I had zero confidence he was getting out of it. Yes.
It was really bad. That 14-7 St. Louis Cardinals.
That's another brutal loss. Just a brutal loss to battle back from down 7-2, battle back down 5 runs, come back, tie the game, and to have the bullpen immediately blow it. Immediately blow it. And that's what I'm talking about. That just happened. We just watched Cousins and Canely blow that game. Canely in particular. Throwing changeup after changeup after changeup after changeup after changeup. Like, that just happened. They don't have a better option. And again, I'm going to make it clear for all the people who seem to have a hard of hearing. It's on Brian Cashman. It's on Brian Cashman that the Martian, Jason Dominguez, isn't up here playing instead of Verdugo. It's on Brian Cashman that DJ LeMahieu is still on this team. It's on Brian Cashman that the bullpen doesn't have a better option than Clay Holmes and his 11 blown saves. Now, in there, there's some blame to go on Boone. It's Boone's fault for allowing DJ LeMahieu to be at first base last night with a lead. Makes no sense. When the left-handed starter was already out of the game, makes zero sense. Zero. I tweeted it when to be fair, no one said it before the error. And if he didn't lose the ball, if he didn't become the first baseman in history to lose a ground ball in the lights, no one would be saying it now. So I get that. It's very much a second guess. No one preemptively said, why isn't Rizzo in the game? I said it as soon as they blew the error. I'm like, wait a minute. Why isn't Rizzo in the game? It doesn't mean it wasn't a wrong move. I'm just saying, if he makes the easiest freaking play I've ever seen, we're not having this discussion. But it doesn't mean Boone wasn't wrong. He's dead wrong. Rizzo has to be in the game defensively. Has to be. They have to play this way moving forward. They have to. Hell, with the way Soto's played defensively lately, if they have a 3 or 4 run lead in the 8th or 9th inning, get him out of there too. Now, people will go nuts if the bullpen blows it and then, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera, who came in for defensive purposes, or Grisham, should I say, is going to come up in the 8th inning with the bases loaded. But you have to have your best team out there. And that's part of it too. Like, we can scream and cry about it. And like, again, we're going to scream and yell about Verdugo, and I am too, and the Martian. Martian needs to be playing over Verdugo, fine. Verdugo got an RBI base hit last night. Verdugo's hitting about 270, 280 over the last 10 or 12 games. I'm not saying that he should be in there. I still believe Dominguez should be in there, but it's not like why they're losing. Like, that's the only thing. We could scream about it. It's not why they're losing. Oh, there's another ground ball rolled over to second base. Sure, he doesn't get hit every time. He got an RBI base hit. Like, in the Washington series, we're screaming about LeMahieu. Oh, my God, how's LeMahieu playing? How's LeMahieu playing? How's LeMahieu playing? He got three times as many hits. He got three times as many hits as Juan Soto did in that series. Like, that's the reason. And people keep saying this, and I don't understand it. Like, when you build a team, no doubt, you can't say, I have two good hitters and that's it. Of course. You can't just say, well, we have two good hitters in Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, and that's it. You need more. And they do have some more. They went through a stretch where they didn't. And now it feels like they do with Wells and Stanton back and obviously Jazz Chisholm. I do think they have Volpe hopefully coming into form a little bit and Gleyber at the top of the lineup. The lineup is much better with more hitters than just Judge and Soto. But here's the plain simple truth. We talk about them like they're Ruth and Gehrig. We talk about them like they're Maris and Mantle. We talk about them like they're a special duo. And they are. They're going to need to perform in the playoffs. I've heard so many people. I heard Keith talking about it and callers with Keith and everything. Like, this is what's going to happen. Judge isn't going to hit in the playoffs and the rest of the team's not good enough. Newsflash! If Judge and or Soto don't hit in the playoffs, yeah, it's probably that the Yankees are going to lose. That's the heart of their team. Judge, Soto, and Cole. If Cole doesn't pitch well, guess what? The rest of the rotations, they need Cole to pitch well. They need Judge and Soto to hit. What a shocker. And people think, I understand Brian Cashman has done a good job and I'm all over him. whether you believe it or not. What'd you expect? Him to build the team good enough where they could lose, they could win a World Series with Judge and Soto doing nothing? Is that what we expected? Do you know why the Dodgers haven't won a round since they won the World Series in 2020? You know why? Because since 2020, Mookie Betts has been the worst playoff player in baseball. Mookie Betts is hitting under 100 in the postseason the last 3 years. And that's why they've been eliminated. If your best players don't play well, you're going to lose. But we still throw it out there as if, like, oh, man, you know, Brian Cashman should have built this unbelievable lineup with all-stars in every position and where Judge and Soto could do zip zero and we'd still win the World Series. That's not reality. The reality is Judge and Soto better freaking hit or the Yankees are going to lose. And Corey Seager had to hit last year. The Rangers wouldn't be defending world champions. That's just the plain truth of it. Val in the Bronx, what's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's good? How you doing this morning, man?
Good, how are you, Val? I'm not great, actually. I'm kind of annoyed.
No, I hear you. I feel you, man. I got three bullets I want to hit with you, but I was saying the same thing. And, early on, I was missing you for the last couple of weeks. I know you had gone your vacation, and then there was the schedule flips and all that stuff like that. But I had said that before, man. It's like Armageddon meets Easter, bro. It's like either the four horsemen, when we lose, you got the four names that people throw out there who are the worst people in the world or whatever on that particular night. And when we win, it's like it's Easter again. We done been resurrected. Whoever's the hero for that night is Jesus, and we keep moving on. But I done said that already. But the three bullets I want to hit you with real quick. You know, you're right on that with Boone. Like, right now is the time for us to, like, you know, start being faster on making, you know, the mental moves. Like, if it is that the roster we have, if it is that we got floor players, let's maximize the good that we get. Just like he was saying with that move at first base. You get to that pressure point at that moment, and you know you got DJ's back, but you're not really sure Rizzo's back, but you got his fielding. At that particular time, let's make that move. Let's get him in there, and let's up that and maximize that spot with what we have. You know, you're perfectly right on that. One of the things I will kind of question, though, I hear what you're saying about, you know, the timing right now and having to get Clay right. Maybe the value should be on right now trying to get that option that's out there to try to get that right, if there is any that exists. And there was a previous caller that said something before about the analytic department. And, you know, to some extent, I kind of, like, I understood what he was trying to say, because the fact is, the analytics department, we kind of feel let us down at certain points. Now is a time when all those potential options that people have been throwing out there for ways to try to get that closer, you know what I mean, or get that spot down. Maybe the analytics department could be looking at the other arms that are in there and trying to see where are the ones that we can maximize with certain situations to try to really find a potential option or, you know, an alternative move to try to correct that. You know, that's what I think he was trying to say. But, you know, you're perfectly right, man. I mean, it's hard to really, because I lose sight of the fact that we are, you know, as much as we just said we fell out of first place, it's a half a game we out of first place. So yeah. It's not like, you know, I totally understand that. But like I said, you know, you hit on some early things where, like, those are the things that they need to start doing right now. Yeah, you got a flawed guy someplace, but let's maximize the things that
No, I mean, you're 100% right. I don't know what happened to your call there. I don't think I cut him off. I was hovering, but I don't think I pushed the button. If I did, Val, I apologize. We'll get you next time. No, you're 100% right. And look, when I say they're tied in the loss column first place, I'm not trying to say let's throw a parade. And they should be 5-6 games up. No one could argue it. They just went through a month of August playing nothing but 500 teams, or under 500 teams, excuse me, and they went 10-8. With Judge winning player of the month. Unacceptable. They've been lousy. I'm not trying to say anything other than that. All I'm saying is as lousy as they've been, they're right there in first place. No other team in the American League is better. And we act like it's, oh, we know this team can't win. We know it. Have you watched the Orioles play? Ask an Oriole fan how the Orioles look lately. Yeah, they've been beating up on the White Sox. Fair. Yankees lost the game to the White Sox. It looks like they probably won't. But they've been playing just as poorly. They look just as inept. They've had different guys really struggle. Gunnar Henderson hasn't done anything since the All-Star break. But nobody cares. And I understand why, and that's fine. But it's hard to... They have Judge, Soto, and Cole at the top of the rotation. They have, I believe, still the best offense in the American League. Let me just double check that on the runs. They have the best offense in the American League. They've scored two more runs than the Orioles. The Arizona Diamondbacks have been on a tear. They have 49 more runs than the Yankees. The Yankees have scored more runs than any other team in the American League. They have a dynamic duo and an ace at the top of their rotation. They have to figure out the back end of the bullpen. Totally agree. Right now, they have to figure it out. And I'm concerned about it. Who wouldn't be? I'm not trying to tell you the Yankees are flawless. The Yankees have major flaws. So does every other team in baseball. And is that good enough? Should I? Am I telling you, be proud, Yankee fans. They're just as good as everybody else. No, they should be better than this. And the bullpen should have been addressed, and it's on Brian Cashman. And if they don't make the World Series, he should be gone, as well as Aaron Boone. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
You forgot one person.
Who'd I forget?
You know who it is, right?
To blame?
You know who it is?
To blame with the Yankees?
Yeah, how?
Okay. I mean, sure. I'm not feeling the Hal hatred at the moment, but sure.
Look, Cashman didn't do anything to get the bullpen help. He got Chasm. That's very good. But what else has he done? And how many years have we been talking about it? How many years have we been talking about Brian Cashman? Yeah, he's been good in the past, yeah. But what has he done lately? Not a whole lot for the bullpen.
I mean, the bullpen was very good the last handful of years. This year, it's bottomed out.
Last handful of years, but this year, you have Soto. You don't know if you're going to re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a chance to win a World Series, which hasn't been done since 2009.
Right.
And the thing is, they're not going for it. They're not good. They say they're all in. How are you all in when you don't get the bullpen help, but you got the hitter you needed? And Anthony Rizzo, now he's back, he should be at first base. And you, like you said, DJ LeMahieu, DFA.
Yeah, I've been on the DFA train, and I agree with you. It's hard to say the Yankees have been all in the way we view all in. 100% agree. Saying they should have done more at the trade deadline. There's no doubt about it. They should have tried to get a reliever of more stature than Mark Leiter. I totally agree. And... as far as Rizzo, I think Rizzo will play in the playoffs. So right now, he's just coming back against left-handed pitching. They were going to throw LeMahieu out there just to continue to see.
Yeah, Rizzo hits left-handed pitching also.
Yeah, no, I think he will eventually face left-handed pitching as well. I think they view him as a staple of the lineup. I don't think he's a lefty-righty thing. I think they just, again, he's coming back from a broken arm. He hasn't had a lot of at-bats, and right now that's how they're going to treat it. But I firmly believe come postseason time, you're not going to see a different – you're going to see Rizzo play first base every single game.
When is my favorite Martian going to be up here?
I don't know. Hopefully soon.
I mean, hopefully soon because he gives them a better option. Verdugo, he's been hitting 270, whatever.
Yeah.
But left field, has his play been outstanding?
Early on in the year, it was. Lately, not so much. I don't agree. I don't disagree, Stu. I don't know. They've made it clear. They're not. It is not about time manipulation, draft picks, anything other than they believe Verdugo, if he can get hot, is the better option. He hasn't had a lot of Stu. This is what they tell you, and I don't think they're lying to you. Jason Dominguez had two major injuries. He had the Tommy John, he came back, he played for a short term before hurting his oblique. Then he came back from the oblique and really struggled to hit. Now the last 2 weeks, he's been hot. For 2 weeks, he's been hot. They don't value the 2 weeks a year ago and the 2 weeks that we've seen in AAA today over Verdugo's career. I think they're wrong. Verdugo is showing his ceiling is not very high. The ceiling for Dominguez could be a hell of a lot higher, and Dominguez is going to give you a 650 OPS with his eyes closed, which is what Verdugo's giving you now. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they're waiting. I don't know why, but I'm telling you, I can't imagine they're not going to bring Dominguez up at some point and give him run. I just can't imagine it. Kenny in Manhattan. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Nice to see you back, my friend.
Thank you very much.
I gotta commend you. Finally, you're coming around on Brian Cashman. But the one bone I have to pick is we still have a manager that can't think on his feet, is not a tactician, and doesn't know how to play the game when he has to think on his feet and make decisions beyond what the people upstairs tell him. That's part of the problem. It's not just the fact that Cashman put together a weird team with a weak bullpen and didn't do stuff at the trade deadline. We also have a manager that's proven time and time again that he doesn't know how to do stuff on the fly.
All right, give me an example.
Give you an example, his whole career.
Well, give me one specific example.
I can't because right. This is his whole career. Everything he does, he never knows when to pull pitchers. He never knows when to keep them in. He never, just the fact that he thinks that Clay Holmes is the best alternative when the guy's blown 11 games.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I mean, he made a mistake last night. He's made mistakes. He's not above making mistakes. I've disagreed with a handful, more than a handful, of things Aaron Boone has done. I think the argument for Aaron Boone is less about his tacticianship and his in-game decisions, and it's more about a culture that he's... I think the argument of everybody thinks it's okay, the Yankees are going to be fine with the Yankees, well, we got to put this behind us, like nothing is ever unacceptable, like... That argument is better to me than he doesn't know when to pull his pitchers. And like I disagree. I think if you look at the bullpens over his tenure, the bullpens have been very good and had some really good seasons. The bullpens almost every single year were in the top five of almost every stat. They did it despite him. I disagree. Like right now, they're leading the league in runs. Offensively, what else do you want? Like, what is he doing wrong where he's got them in the lead in the league in runs? He's not playing small ball enough? Like, I'll ask for a specific thing and you can't give me one. His whole career, you're frustrated they haven't won a World Series. That's it. I think the argument for Aaron Boone is much more about culture than his in-game decisions. He's had some boneheaded ones. They all do. I completely don't know why Rizzo wasn't playing first base last night. It's a bad one. It's a bad blunder that cost them the game. But here's the bottom line. He's going to be gone. If they don't win, he's going to be gone, and he should be. He's had long enough. They're as good as anyone, if not better than everybody in the American League. I firmly believe that. And if he can't get to the World Series with this team, if he can't get to the World Series with Judge and Soto having career years, if they can't get there, they both should be gone, and the place needs a complete cleaning of house. Where I'll stop is rooting for that. I'm not going to root for that. I'm going to root for them to win the World Series and sign long-term deals. That's what I'm going to root for because I want the World Series. But they have to get there. This is still a must-win. However they may treat it, whether or not the Cashman's all in, whether or not they're playing the guys they should be playing, whatever the case may be, I would think Hal, maybe not Cashman, but Aaron Boone's not going to get another contract. This is last year's contract. He's not getting another contract. Aaron Boone's gone if he doesn't win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance.
appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I'll still take your Yankee phone calls, 888-808-1019. Let's talk about the Mets for a second. Open it up to some Met fans. They just to keep on a rolling as they take care of the Boston Red Sox, 7-2. Peterson, 11 strikeouts. He is now 9-1 on the season. We talked about their pitching before we get to the MVP. Peterson and this pitching staff, it's just remarkable what they're doing right now. They have the best ERA in baseball since June. They're going deeper into games. This pitching staff is, I mean, and Peterson, a guy who I would think many a Met fan never wanted to see again. This guy is now 9-1. Getting out of jams, getting swing and misses. The swing and misses from Peterson and Manaea is crazy. I did not view them as these type of pitchers, and right now they are on a roll. Now, he was a boring snooze fest of an in-game interview, but Manaea has been incredible. And Peterson, again last night, a couple times in a jam, able to get out of it. That high fastball last night was just dominant. And listen, the Red Sox are a solid team. Are they a good team? I don't know. They're not a bad team. They're a 500 baseball team. They're not playing the White Sox anymore. This is a legitimate team that scores runs. Like the one thing they do is they've been able to score some runs here. They've completely shut down Devers. And they've gone out and pitched their asses off. And they win a game 7-2, and then, of course, the main story, obviously, is Lindor and how he continues the home run, the double the opposite way, every time they need a big hit. And you got, you know, the GM before the game, or should I say the president of baseball operations, who will consider to look for a GM in the offseason, possibly. But David Stearns said something that, you know, unfortunately for Met fans, doesn't immediately sound crazy. The idea that you are possibly watching right now the greatest season ever by a Met regular player. I mean, that's plausible. That's how good Lindor has been when you take into account his defensive position, how well he plays it, plus every big hit, plus his leadership, the meeting, everything. How switching to leadoff has changed the season. I mean, right now, Lindor is creating a vibe with this team and creating an atmosphere where something special is going to happen when he's up. It's getting crazy. Now, look, I mean, I don't know if you care about MVPs. I know the Mets have never had one. Unfortunately, Ohtani plays baseball. And I know I'm the Ohtani guy, too. I don't want to get into that conversation. The guy's going to be 50-50. It's crazy. But you'd be hard-pressed right now to find a guy playing better baseball than Lindor, and that includes Aaron Judge at the moment, at least. And he's been incredibly clutch every time they need a big home run and now or a big hit. And Alonso coming through, I mean, he's starting to really drive the baseball. Vientos with another home run. I mean, his emergence. We talk about all this, the same stuff we talked about over and over again with this team. To me, what I've focused on here in the last couple days and what's changed for me, although it's, you know, been the best starting staff, I guess, since June. I mean, it's had the best ERA. To me, it's been upped to another level, the starting pitching. And that's what makes them dangerous. Like, right now, they feel dangerous. And I heard, you know, Sal was talking about it, and I was watching his video, and it's like, oh, I got to keep screaming it to remind yourself. Met fans, there's no need for a reminder. This team's damn good. And that's why the bar has been set. I talked about it yesterday. You have got to make the playoffs. The Mets have got to find a way to get in to justify this season. Right? There's the fun nature of everything that's gone on and the low expectations to start, the miserable start and how good they've been for the last 3 months. But you can't proclaim that you're one of the best teams over the last 3 months and then not get there. And if they do, a rotation of Severino, Manaea, and Peterson is going to be dangerous. That's how it's unbelievable what they've been able to do with the pitching staff. But, I mean, Lindor is having one of the best seasons we've ever seen. You look back at it, I mean, Beltran, obviously playing a premium defensive position as well. Of course, Piazza playing an extremely important defensive position. Whether he played it well or not is another thing. But we are talking about one of the great years we've ever seen in a Met uniform. And it's on a nightly basis. And right now, watching the Mets is just playing out. It's just fun. The vibe around the team, he hits that home run on a high cutter. I mean, he set up that at bat. He gets the exact same pitch he got earlier in the bat. And he's just right now, he's not missing anything. And then later in the game, he takes an outside fastball and just shoots it over the left fielder's head. He's spraying it all over the field. It's his 30th home run of the season. I mean, flat out, he is. I mean, I know Gunnar Henderson has cooled off, but I mean, you're talking about the over the last couple of years, if you include all of it, he's the premier power shortstop in the sport. When you look at home runs and RBIs, there's not a better shortstop in the league. And he is carrying this team. A team that's had a bunch of positive answers. Vientos, again, hits a home run last night. His power is easy tower power. I mean, it looks like he barely swings. Him and Alonso both have very easy power. Lindor with his 30th home run. And for me, it's about the pitching again. They shut down this Red Sox team, and it's guys you would have never expected it from. Peterson going out there striking out 11 guys with high fastballs, blowing it by people. I did not see this level of pitching. And if you take into effect, hopefully Diaz is, you know, I know he blew the save fine. He came back, threw a ton of fastballs. I still need to see the repertoire. I still want to see the slider. Obviously, a couple of days off here as Stanek was able to close the game with a 7-2 lead. And you didn't have to use Diaz. But, I mean, you've got Maton, who's really stepped up and given you an answer and entered into the circle of trust, I believe, as Evan calls it. Clearly, Buto has been a weapon in the bullpen. You feel like if Diaz can round into shape, you've got a bunch of options there and a bunch of guys that you feel a little bit better about at least. And right now, the starting rotation is not asking you to get. That was the problem with the starting rotation, even when it was pitching well, even when it was still developing or you know, building, compiling this great ERA. It was you were in the bullpen in the fourth, fifth, sixth inning every single night. Nobody was going deep except maybe Severino would pop up and give you a seven-inning start every once in a while. But typically, it was a short outing. You were into that bullpen early. And now you're getting deeper into the games. You're getting swing and miss stuff. I mean, what was it, 14 whiffs on his fastball last night? And again, this Red Sox team scores. This is not a terrible hitting Red Sox team. The Red Sox are 10th in baseball in runs scored, right below the Mets. 10th. An impressive performance, an impressive stretch run here. And again, yes, Atlanta's playing Colorado. And Atlanta gets the win yesterday in Colorado. You remain a half game back of Atlanta. But you've picked up on games on everybody. What are you, 6.5 out of the division now? Oh, no, they came back and won Philadelphia. I forgot. They were down early. So you're seven and a half games back of the division. You're a half a game back in the wild card. You've picked up games on San Diego and Arizona, as you are now three games back of Arizona. Who's cooled off? I mean, there are multiple ways to get in. You are, it felt like for a while it was just going to be chasing the Braves. But you are four games clear of Chicago, as they lost again to Pittsburgh yesterday. You're half a game behind the Braves. You're three games back of Arizona with the tiebreaker. You're three and a half games back, three in the loss column still, of San Diego with the tiebreaker. And as, you know, tough as the schedule is, and I think they have the second toughest schedule in baseball down the stretch, if they're going to play like this, and they're going to pitch like this, and they're going to have an MVP in Lindor playing this way, and now hopefully Alonso has gotten hot hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and you're still getting a great series season from Vientos, and if you can get anything from Nimmo and start to revert back to that offense that was plugging away a month ago. I mean, honestly, when you look at the cooled-off Diamondbacks, the Padres, I mean, really the Dodgers and the Phillies, who else is clearly better than the Mets? You have to get in. And not only just to justify it, and not only just to say, hey, that's what this season dictates. I was at a position where I was a half a game out of the first wild card. Once I'm there, I reset my calibrations and I focus on what's plausible from that moment on. And that's what I've been saying. That's what I was saying last night. Fine for all that. But also to legitimately give yourself a chance to do something special, because that's what this season's been about. And right now, if they're going to, I mean, I don't know what else you want from a team. You look at the Mets right now. They have the best starting pitching in the league at the moment. Their lineup, top to bottom, is as long as any in the sport. You've got a guy in the middle of the lineup who is an MVP candidate. You've got a consistent home run hitter finding his swing. I mean, you've got what has been a premier closer in this sport, if he could ever figure it out, with other options in the bullpen, including a guy like Buto, who can come in and give you three innings in any one given game in a postseason series, in a short wild card series. I mean, there are a bunch of reasons why, if the Mets get into the postseason, they are as dangerous as anyone. And the vibes around this team have been immaculate for how long now? Even in their down stretches, it's felt like that issue has been gone. It feels like, with Iglesias and Grimace and everything else, and Lindor and whatever they're slapping. Right now, the Mets are just playing great baseball. And it is fun in Queens. It's fun at Citi Field. They're getting performances from starting pitchers I never would have thought in a million years. I thought Severino could have a bounce-back year. I thought Manaea could be a serviceable pitcher. I did not think Peterson could come in and be 9-1, striking out 11 hitters, throwing 14 high fastballs past the Boston Red Sox team that's 10th in the league in runs scored. I did not see Manaea consistently going out there striking out 10 guys. I did not see those three guys feeling like, with this offense, I'll take those three guys in a playoff series, in a wild card series against anybody. Did not see that coming. Ryan in Tarrytown. What's up, Ryan?
Good morning, Chris. You sound great the past couple of weeks, and I guess football season's good for everyone's mental health. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you very much.
So about Lindor, I'm a Mets fan. I don't want to be a negative Nelly, but I go down the list of David Wright, Jose Reyes, Beltran, Piazza, Alfonso, Strawberry,
yeah.
Carter, Hernandez. I mean, do we have to get the guys batting 274? I don't want to be a negative Nelly, but
no, I hear you. But yeah, but no, you got to take it into account. He's playing Gold Glove caliber shortstop. He's got 30 home runs, and he has dragged this team from the depths. I mean, it's one of those special seasons. When what he's done, I mean, it's every clutch hit. It's every time they need a hit. Now, you're right. I don't remember Strawberry in his prime. I don't remember Gary Carter in his prime. I saw Mike Piazza hit 340 and such. Like, I get it. When you also take into account, you know, what the rest of the league is doing offensively, when Piazza was hitting 340, right, there were a hell of a lot more guys doing it than there are today. Offense is down around the sport. I mean, it just feels like a very special. It feels like a very special season.
All right, I'll get on the bandwagon, but I want to ask you a Giants football question.
Sure.
So we got Darnold coming in right on Sunday.
Yes.
You think he can throw over 250, 300 against the Giants D this week, sir?
Yes. I mean, will he? I don't know. Can he? Is he capable of? With Justin Jefferson and the defensive backfield that the Giants present, if they could figure out a way to keep Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Burns off of Darnold's ass, is it possible? Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It is funny to me, and I don't know how to view it yet. Me and Fliegelman were actually talking about it again. Thanks to Clay Holmes, this became a much bigger baseball show. We still have a couple days, get into football a little bit more. We'll do over-unders. We'll talk. We'll preview the week, obviously. We'll do our picks on Friday. We will take a chance. Looking forward to that. Haven't heard it in a while. Every time it's come on the radio, I've made sure to turn it off. Now I only if anyone even plays ABBA, I'm like, nope, football season. If there's one thing ABBA's good for, or what it reminds me of now, it's football season. But Darnold coming in, think about this right now. However optimistic you are as a Giant fan, if you're the Brenton Long Island where they're going to play for this coach and, you know, just tear apart everyone around them and they're going to win 12, 13 games, or you just think like me where there's a chance they actually could be a legitimate contender to be a playoff team, Sam Darnold is coming into MetLife Stadium as a 1.5 favorite against the Giants. A road favorite for a failed bust of a quarterback who has played times, has played well at times in Carolina, has had his moments. But, I mean, this is a guy, first time with a brand, with a new team. Yes, the defense is pretty good. Yes, his surrounding pieces are fairly competent. But he's got one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the sport. And the Giants' defensive backfield is their one real concern, even with Adoree Jackson. But to come in here and be a 1.5 underdog favorite in this game at MetLife, I was surprised by that. That line seems fishy to me. That line sounds like everybody is going to jump on the Giants as a home dog. Makes me nervous. So when you ask me, can he come in here and throw 260 yards on you? Bet your ass he can. Yeah. Joe in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
C-Mac, great show as usual.
Oh, thank you, buddy. What's up?
C-Mac, you know what's so funny? As a Mets fan, I'm just thinking with Vientos. I mean, I know the Mets, how bad they started the beginning of the season and that whole Brett Beatty experiment. What do you think, C-Mac, if this youngster would have played starting the beginning of the season? Because this kid could hit. He's going to be a very good defensive third baseman, I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he could learn. But the guy does have a bat that, I don't know. I just want your take, C-Mac. And thanks for taking the call, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, if he was, I don't know if he would have been as good if he came up right away. Like, I mean, he could have used some time. I know J.D. Martinez obviously had a huge impact on his career. At least he credits a conversation he had with J.D. Martinez. But right now, he's clearly the third baseman moving forward. I don't know if he's solid defensively. Beatty really showed major improvement defensively. I think Vientos has shown improvement defensively. I don't think he's a great defensive player. I don't think he'll ever win a gold glove at third base, but he's passable. And his offense, I mean, he's a legitimate, like, he could be a perennial 30 to 40 home run hitter. Easy. He's got 22 in, like, what, 89 games? 90 games? So, yeah, I mean, look, they took a chance on Beatty, and I think everybody wanted that. I mean, I remember I was here when they saw. I was filling in for Sal on the midday show at BT when the day after JD Martinez was signed, and Sal called in thrilled to send that bum Vientos back to AAA. Like, everybody wanted to give Beatty a shot at first. And it's funny because I talked about that day, the plan that the Mets were talking about, and wanted to get a look at both of those players and how there was room for it. And I was disappointed they sent him down because I wanted to kind of get a chance to see both of them play, especially when you knew JD Martinez was going to take some time. But they sent him down right away. Who knows if he would have started off the same. Maybe he needed to go down there and get some confidence. But right now, whatever the case may be, whatever it would have been, what I know now is the guy has been a threat in the middle of the lineup. His emergence has changed the offense in a profound way. And the Mets have a legitimate power hitting corner infielder on their hands. And I say corner infielder because I guess there's a chance he could transition to first if for some reason they don't have a first baseman next year. I would think that's plausible. But right now, I mean, he's a stud. And if you think of all the different things that have happened over the course of this year, finding out Vientos is a stud is as important and one of the check marks. Like, if you want to go back to the beginning of the season, you want to say, oh, they don't have to make the playoffs. Think about the expectations at the beginning of the year. Well, to be fair, if you want to have that discussion, I mean, at least at the very finding Vientos was a huge check mark at the beginning of the year. Having either Beatty or Vientos turn into something was like numero uno of what this year was about. So to see Lindor become this, excellent. I don't know what will be next year, but that's part of the reason why you want to win and get into the playoffs now, because you've got a player who's just on this run. You don't know what happens next year. I think he's going to be a good player next year, but we might never see this again. We said the same thing about Judge 2 years ago. Never expected to see it again. Didn't mean he wasn't worth all the money, but just that's such a special season. He happens to be doing it again, and maybe Lindor can. But you have to capitalize on all this. You have to capitalize on Vientos' emergence. You have to capitalize on bit role players like Iglesias and Taylor and Bader and all these guys having great years. You got to capitalize on it. You got to capitalize on Peterson, 9-1. You got to capitalize on him dominating. Do you trust Peterson, David Peterson, to be this next year? I don't. Got to do it now. The time is now. And tonight is your night, Maury. What's up?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. What's going on?
All right. So, you know, I love you. I love the Yankees. I'll never give up on the Yankees. But something's missing. And I don't blame the coach. I don't blame the hitting. Something's missing that we just don't seem to be a good watch or a dependable team or the good old Yankees.
Well, I don't know about a good watch. I was enjoying watching the game until the ninth inning.
I feel like something's missing. A heartbeat, something. And I don't blame the coach. I don't know what to blame, but something's missing. And I'm just trying to put my point. Not getting the runs across. Verdugo batting two, whatever. Our catcher can't throw a guy out. Just there's always something that happens. And last night's another example of we have a closer that can't close. Can't even close the door. But I continue to, focus on the team and be excited about this. Something is missing. I don't know what it is. You said it before. They don't go to the World Series or at least get to the second round. They both got to go because this is it. This is it. Do or die. This is it.
I totally agree. And thank you for the call, Maury. There's no doubt. They have to get to the World Series. This was a World Series or bust season. That hasn't changed. I still believe they can get there. I do. I still believe they can get there. I don't think they're missing. Are they missing something? Sure, they got a lot of holes. Are they missing something that eliminates them from getting there? No, they are not.